Learning how to fly sounds like a good idea. It does to me. Very often I will start my talk based on something that I heard in the song, but today I was so aware of watching Bunny watch Rafe while they were singing together. Not because he's so cute, but he is. Is that what you just said? But he is. But when Bunny is harmonizing with Rafe, she stares at him because the desire is to be in harmony. And what we learn as we learn to be more effective in our own life, which is akin to flying, is really what is required is to spend more and more time focused, looking directly at that which we are seeking to express in our life and not being distracted by anything else as fetching as the rest of life might be. In the Bible, the expression is thine eye must be single. And in old church, we'd say, keep your eye on the prize. And that's what we want to do. If we expect to have a different experience in every sport, the whole, one of the important things is to always keep your eye on the ball, be it golf or tennis or any sport. And so what is the, what's the ball that you want to play with? That's for you to decide. It doesn't matter and nobody else really cares what it is. But it's for you to decide, and you need to make a choice if you want to have a different experience than the one you currently are having. And as grateful as we all are for the wonderful good things in our life, I speak for myself, if not for most people here, there is plenty more to be had, to be experienced, to be enjoyed, than our current level of self-actualization. We have just come through the High Holy Days in the Jewish tradition, and you know, there are so many, it's such an old culture, and there are so many interpretations about what Rosh Hashanah really is and what Yom Kippur really is and what this means or that means. But one of the things that my neighbor, as he expressed it to me this week, is that in Rosh Hashanah, which is the new year, which was 10 days ago, you begin a process of atonement, at-one-ment. With God, we review the year that we've just been through. We let go of the things that we are complete with. We forgive those things that have been done unto us or that we have done unto others. And we set intentions. We set intentions that we might be written in the book of life, as it is said in that tradition. And on Yom Kippur, the book of life is sealed for the year. So you get to do your work during the High Holy Days of letting go of all that no longer serves you, and if you will, setting intentions. Now that's our work to do, because we know that there's no God that's going to do that for us. This is a metaphor that the Creator would write us and our good in a book, that it will be determined in advance as much as you are going to receive in the next year coming up. But I like that. I like it a lot. It's a useful idea for me. And I like it because it puts all the responsibility on me. And the rest of it is automatic. That I've got a certain amount of time, call it 10 days, the beginning of September, back to school, whatever image or metaphor works for you. But I've got some time to really let go of all the baloney and really think about what is it that I intend to experience in the new year. And to seal the book and say, this is what I intend to experience this year. Now, last week we talked about intentions, and I want to talk a little bit about intentions yet again this week based on the guidance here from Trevor Blake in three simple steps. Everybody has a different meaning or definition of goals, intentions, objectives, visions, values, all kinds of things. We're working with a pretty specific idea here in what is your intention. What do you intend to experience this year? What are you going to really do something about? Not what do you hope is going to happen, not what do you wish would happen, not what fantasy you have for some other person who owes you to make good on this year. That is not in the book. That's not in the book. But what are you going to do something about this year? What is your intention? We talked about the word intention in a pretty basic way last week, and I'll repeat it just ever so genteelly this week. But you know, I was thinking about intentions when a young teenage boy goes to pick up a young girl on a date, and the father says, "Young man, I want to know what your intentions are with my daughter." Now, why does a man ask that of another young man? Because he knows darn well what his intentions are for what he's going. Am I right? At least I know I'm not wrong. I don't know if women use that. What do you intend to have happen? Young man, what do you intend? Well, you know, so young man is going to lie to said father and say, "Well, we're going to go out and have a lovely time and, you know, be home by 9 o'clock. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's going to happen. That's not what the intention is. Young man will tell older man what older man wants to hear. He says what is expected of him. That ain't what his intention is. He's going to do everything he can to have a very special good time. And that's okay. That's what his intention is. No matter where he has to go, no matter how much it costs, no matter what lie he has to tell to parents, no matter what he has to do to get the car, he intends to have a good time. Okay. So what do you intend for your year to be? The more I've been thinking about this, I think I'm going to do this every September. I'm going to pretty much let go of January being the new year. Because, again, nobody has any intention of making good on a New Year's resolution. That is so ingrained into our race mind that it's just something you were supposed to say. You have no intention of really changing at New Year's. But there's a great energy that happens in September. It is the season of harvest. It is where dreams come true. It's also, in the olden days, all the car. Does that still happen? Do new cars come out in September? In May? Well, the olden days, you know, I'm of a certain age, what can I tell you? But we had new TV shows always in September. The new Cadillac always came out every year in September. I mean, it is the beginning. It's a back-to-school kind of energy. And it's like, let's get real about what are we going to learn this year? What intention are we going to set? If you're in third grade, like Ashley is in third grade, who is here on Sundays, you know, she intends to successfully complete third grade, and her mom, Lola, does too. And that she intends to get to fourth grade. And are they going to make that happen? You bet they're going to make that happen. By doing whatever they need to do all year long, week by week, semester by semester, to get from third grade to fourth grade. This fantastic book, Reverend Marion in her treatment said, life is rather simple, and oh, it is. It is not easy to be a successful grown-up, but the steps are really quite simple. One is to get unplugged from the morass of the world that we live in. This is the right time of year to keep reminding ourselves that the original Hebrew meaning of what we call Egypt is the stuck place. And Moses, a largely mythological figure, went to liberate the people from the stuck place. This is the human experience for all of us. At some point, when we begin to wake up, we realize that we have been in some kind of stuck place, either of our own making or something that we bought into, and we have to say, yes, I am willing to take that journey, even if I get lost for a little while along the way. The first thing that I have to do is to be willing to get unstuck. As good as this might be, or frankly, as awful as life might be, that doesn't have to be this way, and there's no God. There's no God that is wanting me to suffer for any good reason. So I make a commitment. Yes, I am willing to get unstuck. I'm willing to go into the future. And where do I want to go? Well, it's not up to Moses and it's not up to Aaron. It's up to me. Where do I intend to go? Where is my land of milk and honey? It's all a metaphor. Well, I better intend to get there by setting intentions. Now, Mr. Blake in this book says how he sets intentions, and this may sound craven, but how he went from childhood poverty in Wales to having hundreds of millions of dollars that he has earned in a short work experience is by getting clear and setting intentions, and staying focused on it. Staying focused, focused, focused. It's really demanding work, but it's the only way to get what you want. All of us at some point have had this experience. All of us have had some moment of laser-like focus and achieved something even more remarkable than we set out to. This is the divine order. This is why life, according to metaphysics, is more than merely mathematical. If you want it to happen every single day, it probably isn't going to. It'll happen to those things that you give your whole heart, your whole mind, and your whole soul to, that you will have an utterly remarkable experience. The first thing that Mr. Blake says in, and these are exactly the same rules as spiritual mind treatment, as effective prayer. The first thing you do, he says, is to, when you're setting an intention, is to imagine, he says, from the future. In our work, we say we treat, we pray from the demonstration. Now, we talk about these things in class, which is why class is so awesome, that we have an hour and a half or 2 hours to have really rich conversation about what these things mean. Read the book. Practice it in your own life. But you don't say, you don't set an intention, is that I hope I can get out of this awful place that I'm living. You say, I am grateful that I have adequate housing, terrific transportation, vibrant health. That is the first thing. As if it is your current reality. And this is really important. This is a subtlety that's really, really important. And it's taken me years to parse out the pieces of this. But it is not a lie if you have a certain understanding. Part one of the understanding is that if I'm bouncing checks, praise God I'm not, but if I'm bouncing checks, you can say that there is great wealth. I live in a world of wealth. If you say, I've got $100 million in my checking account, that's a lie you're telling yourself. But it is not a lie to say, we live in a country where there is great wealth, and I am part of it. Yes, that is true. If we're seeking to have some kind of experience a work-related experience, an artistic, athletic expression of any kind. You know, you treat from, you set the intention from it already having happened. And as Bunny looks at Red, you stay focused on what that looks like. If it happens anywhere, it means it happens for human beings. And you are a human being. It can happen for you. Part one. Part two of why it's not a lie. We have a different understanding right now of what comprises the psyche, the mind, in depth. When Science of Mind was written in 1926, it was pretty much limited to an everyday consciousness, a subconsciousness, and some kind of God consciousness, a super consciousness. But there are other kinds of components to it, and there's work that you can do to understand it. But you know, there are many yous that make up your wholeness. There are many parts of you that constitute your wholeness. The metaphor that is used in the Bible is that Jesus had, the way there were 12 tribes of Israel, 12 tribes made Israel a nation. There were 12 attributes that Jesus called apostles that all 12 added up as a unit, comprised Christ consciousness. There are parts of you. Some of them are fabulous. There's a part of you that's a warrior. There's a part of you that's a victim. There's a part of you that's really, really smart, and there's a part of you that plays dumb. You see, the secret of life is being aware of who you've allowed to run your life. What part of you? There's a part of me that feels discouraged sometimes. There's a part of me that knows no discouragement. When am I going to let him drive? I might be in the habit of letting Mr. Disappointed drive and let him define my life. Or I might let him react to all kinds of things. No matter how old we are, when we all go home to see our mom, be she 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, or 100, some of us turn into blithering idiots. Why? Because she's mom and I'll always be her baby, and guess how you act? Like her idiot baby! I'm 60 years old. I go see my mother. She goes, "What's wrong with your hair? Your hair?" And I go, "Don't touch my hair." Am I the only one? Imagine showing up at a family reunion and actually acting like a grown-up rather than acting like the role that you have always been designated to play. Well, you know what? That's a part of you. It's not a bad part of you. We are part, as Tennyson says, of all we have met. Call it all good because it's part of your wholeness. But who are you going to let be the boss of your life? What part of you? As Edwin Gaines would say, the big girl part, right? Put on your big girl panties and put on some lipstick and go out and meet the world. Well, I'm not used to that. Well, if you want to have a big life, we have to be willing to get used to that. And if you don't want to get used to it, you're not going to have the big life. This is very simple. And it takes all of our attention. All the time. All the time. Okay, 51% of the time. Set your intention. Speak of it as if it has already happened and behave as if it has. Maybe we call that behavior modification. Maybe we call it that part of you that really knows how to be successful in that way, has assumed full responsibility for the creation of it in your life. Intentions also have to be personal. They have to be about you. Because as much as we want to be the boss of the universe, we are not. But I am the boss of this part of the mind of God. And my job is to first handle this. Knowing when this part of the universe is clean, Then I became a radiating center, and my health and wholeness in good radiates out to all others and invites them up to a higher level of wholeness. He also says, be positive, be personal, set intentions bigger than the small self can imagine. Set intentions bigger than the small self can imagine. In old church talk, we would say, because that allows space for the action of the Holy Spirit to enter in. And you know what? Maybe it does. Maybe that's the way it works. But if you can set a goal of something that is really, really easy and doable, okay. Do that for the sake of learning how it works. But if it's really important, like your life is, really important, go for it. Be big. Be bold. He also says to speak your intentions aloud every day, which is why we treat aloud every day. I'm awful Bible today, maybe because I set it up with the Jewish holidays. But you know, in the book of Genesis, it says, and then God said, as he created the cosmos, it wasn't, and then God thought, nighttime. God said there was day and there was night. There's a reason for it. Why? Because it's effective. It's an effective way to work with your brain as an instrument of your mind, as an individuation of the mind of God. And the last piece of advice he gives, for the love of God, keep it private. Don't be blabbing to the whole world about what it is you intend to do. Why? Because it's almost like you're laying off responsibility on other people to make it happen. And, part one, part two, you will meet with skepticism. I intend for this to happen. And your three best friends go, yeah, it's going to happen. And then what happens? The loser you comes up and goes, nobody likes me. Stay in your warrior mode, which is a gender-neutral word, like doctor. Stay in warrior mode. Intend for this to happen. There is that of you which is more than able, more than capable. Some part of you is always ready. If you allow them, I like to think, it's the image for me is always handing them the keys. It's like, okay, you haven't done a very good job, get me where I want to go. Here are the keys. You drive from now on. It's still a part of me, and it's not about being schizophrenic or anything silly. There are so many living dynamics that are alive and in us. You get to choose what they are. You get to set your intention for the year. You get to write it in the book of life. You get to seal that book of life. And if you are true and faithful to those intentions, I bet you a nickel, this time next year, you'll all have tremendous stories to tell. God bless you, friends.